Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody? The way God loves somebody, and He loves you.
Good evening, and thank you for tuning into There's Nothing New Under the Sun. This is yours truly, Pastor C. We're in the Sanctuary Studio in Forestville, Maryland. I'd like to wish everyone a happy Thursday. Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I believe I have on the line with me tonight my big sister, Sheila G. You on the line tonight?
Yes, sir.
Praise God. And My good friend and mentor, Dr. G, on the line tonight.
Yes, I am.
Praise God. Glad to be on the line one more time. It was a song that the old saints would be. They said it was glad to be in the service one more time. They were glad to be able to participate in the service of the Lord. We're going to start with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it's in Jesus' name that we humbly bow, God, and thank you for another privilege, another opportunity to get together and study your word. And Father, we pray that you will bless us, that we will be able to study to show ourselves approved unto you, that we can be workmen that need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing your word of truth. Bless us, God, that we will be able to apply this word to our lives, share it with others. And as always, God, we pray that this will be done to your glory. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank God for another Thursday night. The old allergies try to kick in, but we're still giving God the praise. It's funny how things are always at a point where you're doing well up until it's time to minister or time to serve the Lord, and then these things try to jump up. But we have to continue to go on anyhow. Pray everyone had a great Resurrection Sunday. Had a good worship experience that we were able to give God the praise. Thank Him for getting up. because He got up, we can get up also. So,
that's right.
Thank God. God for that. It was a powerful time in the Lord, so we thank God for that. But we are continuing in the fourth chapter of the book of Acts, the book of the Holy Ghost, the book of the Holy Spirit, where we see how the power of the Holy Spirit is moving in God's church. And I'm reminded that Jesus asked the question of Peter, "Who do men say that I am?" And Peter answered, "You are the Son of the living God." And he said, "Heaven and earth, that nothing revealed is known but God. And he said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And so in this book of the Holy Spirit, this is how God is building his church, through the Spirit, not flesh and blood revealing it to us, but through the Holy Spirit is how the church operates. And that's what we've seen through these first four chapters, is how the Holy Spirit is operating in the believers, like he said he would, and how they are experiencing great wonders and miracles. You know, last week we saw that after Peter and John had gone through a difficult trial and position of being incarcerated, they came in and they had a prayer meeting with the folks, and they prayed, and once they prayed and shared how good God was, the Holy Spirit came and shook the place. And I believe last week Dr. G said that they weren't playing church. some people are playing church, but when you're in a situation where you know or you've been in the presence of God, you're not playing church. And this brings us to where we're picking up, where there was a movement after this prayer service where the Spirit of God began to start ministering to people that they wanted to give toward this great ministry. And I always tell people, you can't make people give, but if people are led by the Spirit, they'll give their last dime.
And they
know that it's for the goodness of the Lord, and that's why I always tell people at our church, you know, you can beg till you turn blue, purple, and green, but if it's not in their heart, they're not led by the Spirit, they're not gonna give it done.
That's so, right.
So in this again, Sheila G, we're talking about how the first century church showed us how to give. The first century church is setting an example for this century church on how to give. And you know, they gave in such a manner that it was so powerful that they were able to continue that early church because people looked out for each other. They looked out for the ministry so that the word of God would progress. And when we study this, it wasn't like the apostles had asked for the money. The people had a spirit to give. When they had a spirit to give, sort of like when they built the tabernacle, where they gathered all the possessions, and they had given so much that they had to tell them to stop giving. I've never seen a church like that. The people gave so much when they had to tell them to stop giving. But again, the first century church is leading the way on what was happening. So we want to pick up again in chapter 4, verse 31. It says, and they prayed. They prayed. In other words, it's a prayer thing that the church has to understand, that prayer, this communication with God, is how you communicate with God in the Spirit. You talk, but the Spirit that God has placed in you will begin to communicate with God, and that Spirit will communicate what God will have you to do. And so as they prayed, verse 31, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And so, in other words, they weren't speaking what thus said man. They weren't speaking what thus said woman, but they were speaking what thus said the Lord. Through prayer, they were on one accord and filled with the Holy Spirit. And when the church is in one place, on one accord, filled with the Holy, speaking the word of God, then that is the power movement of God in his people to carry out his will. And that's why it's so important for the church to be in prayer and to be on one accord, because we don't want to leave it up to man to lead the way. And that is the crucial thing, is that we have to be a Spirit-led church in order to accomplish the things of the Spirit of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Sheila G?
Amen. And, you know, as you read this, I thought about how this whole theme for this whole book of Acts is laying out how God wanted the church to be, the makeup of the church. You know, even from the beginning, we're like, oh, you know what, that's why our programs in our church are set that way.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
we have to be on board. We have to have the Holy Spirit, usher the Holy Spirit. Yes, we're singing praises to God. Last week, we were talking about testimony. So here we're seeing in God's word how this is how he's laid out the structure of the church. It's not for form and fashion. It's in line with the word. And now we come to talking about the prayer, and that leads into how we have altar call. We have altar call in our church so that we can pray. And we all have seen how a lot of times in that prayer, when everybody's coming up, how the Holy Spirit is moved right in there. But again, it's scripture. It's not something that we're doing in church for form or fashion. It says it right here. When we all
Amen.
Come together, we're all on one accord. We've had the testimony. We've had the song. We've had the praise. We've been through what we've been through the week. And now we're coming together in prayer, and the Holy Spirit is coming down, raining down on us from heart to heart
mm-hmm.
and breath to breath. So, it, you know, when people want to say things about, well, the church is just doing that to just be doing that, no. This is what God has laid out. That's how he laid out for us to be led that way. And that's why we open up in prayer. That's why we have prayer service.
Yeah.
And that's what
yeah.
altar call is all about, coming together, one accord, allowing the Holy Spirit to reign from heart to heart and breath to breath. That's how we get our power. That's how we can go out boldly praising and glorifying the Lord.
Amen. Amen. And Dr. G, it's amazing where, you know, we were taught to open up in prayer. And, you know, we open this Bible study up. We open it up with prayer. And we you know, it's one of the things our dad taught us, you know, to be humble. We say we humbly bow, you know, and thank you for another privilege and another opportunity to come together and study your word. And in other words, prayer sets the tone for what
Amen.
Happens next. And if you want what happens next to be godly, you better get to the Lord in prayer, Dr. G.
Amen. You're right. And as you said it, you know, prayer does set the tone for pretty much everything that we do when it comes to the Lord, in the church, out the church. You know, even when before we eat, you know, we say our prayer, we
yes.
say grace.
Yes.
All of that keeps everything in the proper perspective. But, you know, we live in a day and time now where people will cut prayer out because it's you know, it takes too much time or for whatever reason. But, you know, we need to bring that back because, as you
yeah.
said, you know, we communicate with God. And once whatever we do, we started off with prayer. That helps set the tone for everything that we do in life.
Yeah.
But we just don't seem to get that yet.
Amen. And again, Sheila G., when Jesus went and began his earthly ministry, he got away. Led out into the spirit in the wilderness of the spirit in the spirit, and he spent time with God. And from time to time during his earthly ministry, he got away and prayed. And
mm-hmm.
you know, before he was betrayed, he went and had prayer. You know,
mm-hmm.
he asked the and I always laugh when I talk about this because Dr. G always says he couldn't do but 1 hour. He sounded
Amen.
Like when Jesus went. Before he was crucified, and he asked his disciples, "You couldn't pray with me 1 hour, just 1 hour," and it was amazing that he would have to go and pray, and to think that we in the 21st century church don't have to pray is it's mythical. We forget how important it is that we live in a physical body
right.
That has the Spirit of God in it, those who are believers. And in order for us to get the daggone body to do the right thing, the thing of the Lord, we have to communicate with God and get God's Spirit to be able to surrender our will over to his will so we
right.
can carry out the things of God. Sheila G.?
Amen. That, you know, we've said it throughout this book that we've been reading, how we have to stay plugged into the power source. Because if you don't, then the darkness will come, and only the light chases away darkness. And that power source is through prayer and studying God's word. And we have to do that because our natural man is not good. You know, I was watching something the other day. There was a preacher that was preaching and saying that babies, when they come out, nobody teaches them to throw their rattles in the floor. Nobody scream and holler. Nobody teaches them to bite. That's the natural nature. You know, nobody teaches them to just, like, you know, throw their food on. It just, that's the natural man is to do bad and to do wrong. And it's the spiritual one, the spirit, that's the one where that battle comes in. So we have to stay connected to that source so that we can overcome our fleshly desires.
Amen. And it's so key. You don't have to teach kids to act up. They
act
come
up.
Here knowing how to do that.
That's
not knowing how to act up and be selfish.
Right.
But that prayer that moves so powerfully leads us to this next thing, and I call it the ongoing challenge as the church is when people understand what when they're on one accord and they understand what needs to be done in ministry or with the church where it deals with material things or deals with financial things. And I always tell people that it takes money to be able to do things in this world. It's a part of the world we live in that we have a need for money to be able to support ministry, and people need to understand that people need to eat and people need to get dressed and clothed and things that go on in the church where you need to have lights on and you need to have heat and a place to stay. And so there's the business aspect, but in order to carry out the business aspect correctly, you got to have the Holy Spirit, and you got to have the Word of God directing the business of the church. And so we're going to look at this next section that talks about the believers and how they share their possessions in order to accomplish the ministry of the church. So let's look at verse 32. And it says, and the multitude of them that believe were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they all had things in common. I'm going to read that in the NIV. It says, all the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions were their own, but they shared everything they had. In other words, everybody was all in for the work of the Lord. And again, I always go back to the old school church where people got together, and whatever it took, they did for the good of the church. In other words, the church was the center of the community, and everyone participated. And whatever they did, whether it was someone was a carpenter or someone was a cook or someone was, you know, accountant or someone, whatever it was, they all realized that, you know, this ministry, God's ministry, was so important to everyone that everyone had to participate in a certain way that would help continue it. And like I said, if I was a carpenter, if I was a steelsmith, or if I was a cook or whatever, and people came together, and that's what I remember about the church, the old school is, whatever it took, they came, whether someone brought in breakfast or someone brought in money to help take care of the lawn or fix the roof or fix the electricity or, you know, whatever it was, they would bring it to the church, and they trusted the leadership of the church to be able to carry it out and use it in a way that it benefited everyone in the church. Sheila G.
Amen. You know, that's one thing that I do love about our church is we still hold on to that type of unity and coming together, working together, no big I's, no little U's, everybody going together. In fact, just before Easter, Pastor was saying, okay, you know what, we need to come together to clean up the church, pick the day, and everybody came up, and everybody together chipped in, not only for the Easter breakfast, but everybody was doing whatever, even the kids, they were like dusting, cleaning, and it wasn't like anybody had an attitude, you know, it was like, let's come in here, this is our church, this is God's house, what do you need me to do, and everybody chipped in, and the same thing, like we're doing this toiletries campaign, where everybody's bringing stuff, so we can take it to the homeless shelters, and do the mission of Christ, but coming in, coming together, that's what actually bonds the church. That's what unifies the church. Be able to say, this is our church. So this is God's house. God has allowed us to be here. So we have to treat it like that. And Pastor, from the day one that he got there, he said, look, if you see a piece of trash on the ground, I don't care whether you're a minister, deacon, or whatever, this is your church. God bless you. Pick it up and put it in the trash. Before we leave out, everybody look behind you. Make ourselves a committee of one. To make sure that our church looks the way that it should be. And that's one thing that a lot of times people, churches will get so big and high mighty and they have a can't afford a steward or something. So they'll just let somebody else clean it, or they'll leave it up to the ushers to take care of it. Not recognizing we need to come together on this thing. This is our church. We need to be unified and taking care of God's house.
Amen. Dr. G, you want to chime in on that?
Well, I agree with what Sheila G was saying, and, you know, in every aspect of the church, that's the way that we ought to do it. You know, I've gotten to the point where definitely, you know, you might have one or two people set up the communion. After services, I think everybody needs to chip in and pitch in. And, you know, we have to continue that, not just you know, with the upkeep of the church, but with the food, but even with the money. And as you said, you know, only through the power of the Holy Spirit are people willing to do that. And that will show you who's with you and not with you, who's going to complain, who's not going to complain. But I'm at the point now, I could care less whether folk complain or not. You know, as we've said, this is our church, so it's up to us to keep our church looking good. And we have to have that mindset that, you know, it's not about one person. It's about everybody working together. And then, you know, with the financial aspect, this is what caused the religious leaders to become who they were. You know, because they had those titles, that's why they wanted to keep positions, the money, you know, they were the ones that were getting paid for it, but the little folk were the ones that had to help provide for them. So, you know, we forget that. And when you bring it all up to where we are today, you know, it kills me with a whole bunch of, you know, these pastors, these bishops, you know, the titles are great, but, you know, we have to become humble again, to really step down out of the clouds to do what God wants. And I think that's something that our society has really lost.
Amen. I agree with you on that. Yeah, I like the term, step down out the clouds. That'll preach, Doc. That'll preach. You might hear that one Sunday. Lord willing.
Amen.
But they were on one accord, and nobody, there's no big eyes and little U's, and that's when the power of God begins to minister, when everyone is humble and following the Spirit of God. And then in verse 33 it says, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. So when they were on one accord, what happens is that there is great power in the church. Now I can preach about that all day long. When they were able to be on one accord, the leadership of the church had great power, and they were able to witness about the resurrection. They were able to preach and teach about the power of God and the power of the resurrection, and great grace was upon them all. And in other words, the grace, and you have to have the grace of God to be able to deal with everyday life and deal with everyday people, because everyday life and everyday people has challenges.
Yep.
Say that again. Everyday life and everyday people have challenges, and that's one of the divisive things of the church is when the enemy tries to sow discord that we don't look at each other with compassion and have grace,
right.
And that's what begins to start tearing at the fabric of the church when the church doesn't have great grace. Great grace means that even if I didn't speak to you in the morning, you're still going to pray and you're still going to love me anyway. You're still going to tell me that, hey, you know, you might be having a bad day, but because you know I've got God's grace, I'm going to continue to pray, and I'm going to continue to show God's grace to people that I come in contact, especially those of the household of faith. And so when you have that great power to be able to talk about the resurrection, you have that great grace that was upon them all, that's how the church can, that's how we get along with each other. And,
that's right.
And when you have unity in the body of Christ, unity in the church, that's when the church can begin to start doing the great things that God desires for it to do in ministry. But a lot of times people don't want to operate in grace. They forget about the grace that God had upon them. They get attitudes, and they get schisms and divisions and cliques, and it's about me, and it's not about anything but me or what I need or what I can get. And so what happens is the grace goes out the window, and then the leadership has to babysit instead of minister. And so what happens is, instead of ministering, you're babysitting, and so the work of the Lord goes undone.
Amen.
Sheila G.
Amen. And, you know, and that word grace is so, so powerful. And people really need to understand what the grace of God is. And the grace of God is that He gives us what we do not deserve. So like what you were saying, the person that walks in the church and they didn't speak to you, but you still have to show them the love of Christ. And it's not because they deserve it. It's not because they earned it. But it's
Amen.
Because you have the love of the Lord, because God gave us grace. He saved
Amen.
Us from all our sins, not because we deserved it, but because He loved us. So if we use Him as that example and we truly take that word grace to heart, we won't look at situations, or we won't look at people with our carnal eyes and say, that person rolled their eyes or didn't speak to me or acted this way. So, but I have the grace of God. So with God, there were times where I didn't pray, but God still loved me. So it's the same type. We have to give that same grace to other people, not that we're treating them based off what they do, but we treat them based off the love that God has given us, to love them as they are, as the person that, or as the person that they are. And that's what churches have to get back to. I think a lot of times we want everybody to be the same or a puppet or act a certain way. But God loves us as we are, personalities and all. And if we allow the Lord to lead us to show that type of grace to others, we can see people and understand them based off where they came from, based off
Amen.
What they've been through, based off what they may have happened that day, not so much based off what our opinion is. And God will open our spiritual eye so that we can love, and that's how you get that unity in the church, because we're going to have different personalities. We're not the same. We're not even the same in our families. And that's
Amen.
Why there's a lot of division within the family, because you want people to be the same, but we're not. And God didn't make us cookie cutters. And if He can love all of us, we should be able to love others as well.
Amen. And Dr. G, I tell people all the time, I'm not perfect. And you're going to have to love me with some grace, because I'm not always
Amen.
Lovely.
Amen.
I tell them, it's like, you're going to have to show me some grace and stop finding fault. People find fault all the time. But if you find enough fault, you'll find your own fault.
Amen.
You're looking for fault. And those two words of great grace and great power, Wouldn't it be awesome in the church to have great power and great grace upon everybody, Dr. Z?
Well, you're right. And, you know, it's a shame that because we are humans and we get in our humanness every so often. Like you said, we might have had a bad day coming into the church, but because of that great grace and that great power, we who do love the Lord can't take offense to it. You know, we have to love folk anyhow. We don't have to like, but we do have to love them. And you treat folk in the way that Christ, see, that's the best way to diffuse a hostile situation. And it takes folk off, you know, off their little modes of what they're going through, because they're looking for a fight. They come in with a two, want the fight. But if you don't give into that, they don't have anything to do but come down off of it. And again, that's that unmerited favor of God and the power of God. Causes us to act like Jesus would.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. That's well said. That's awesome. And you know, when you begin to act like Jesus, goodness gracious, then you truly have great power and great grace. Wow, that is so powerful. It really is. And a lot of times you get in a roll. When the church is on a roll is when people are sold out and they're doing things according to the word of God. They're forgiving each other. They're acting like, you know, they've been saved by grace and they're sharing that grace, and there's power in the church, and they're reaching out and they're sharing with people on their jobs and their family about the word of God. And the word of God is spreading, and people are being ministered to, and people are being saved. And that's that great power and that great grace that the first century church experienced. And when people get that, like I said, everybody likes a winner. And then when people see that happening, that's when people want to get involved. Unfortunately, sometimes the enemy will try to get in the midst of that, and we'll be in it for the wrong reason and begin to start trying to take advantage of people's goodness and people's grace. But the Holy Spirit will find them out. The Holy Spirit will weed them out, and the Holy Spirit will handle them in due time. But again, God's power and God's grace has to be able to have the people on one accord to be able to wait them out, because what's in darkness will come to light. And we used to say you can fake the funk for a little while, but sooner or later it's going to start stinking. You can cover it up for a little while, but it's going to start stinking. And you'll find folk out who's really about the word of God, who's willing about the work of God. Sometimes people just want to get on the bandwagon. I always laugh at football season time when people see your favorite team that's been losing for a while, they start winning. And then all the jerseys and the flags and all that stuff starts coming out because they're winning and everybody's on the bandwagon. But as soon as they have a little setback and start losing one or two games, all the flags, all that goes away, and they're not cheering for the home team anymore. And sometimes it's like that in church where you know, as long as everything is good and everybody's having a great time, then everybody is on board. But you know, some challenges come, and when those challenges come, you'll find out who's on the Lord's side.
That's right.
Folks will get funny and head for another team. Call those fair weather friends. when the weather's good, you know, everybody's on the bandwagon. But when the rain comes, that's when you find out who's on the Lord's side. Sheila G.
Amen, amen. And that's really who you find out, where are they truly, truly following the Lord, or are they following man? Because, like you said, we're all imperfect. So no matter what church you go to, it's not going to be the perfect place. You aren't going to have a perfect pastor. There aren't going to be any perfect people. And the way that you know that you're being fed by the Holy Spirit The only way to know is to stay connected to God yourself, and the Lord will reveal it to you. But a lot of times people are looking for man to give them that power, to be that power source. So when man does something that disappoints them, then they're ready to run someplace else, not realizing there's not going to be another human being there that's going to disappoint them, because no man can fill the void like God can fill the void. So you have to focus and say, Lord, if this is where you want me to be, I'll know because I'm connected to you, and you will continue to feed my spirit. Not so much that I'm looking for man to do. I'm looking for the proper leadership, yes, but through that leadership, I have to be connected to the Lord. I think a lot of people hop from church to church because they're looking more towards man instead of allowing the pastor, the leadership of the church, to point them towards God.
Amen. Amen. Well said. Let's go to verse 34, and it says, neither after this great power and this grace, in verse 34, it says, neither was there any among them that lacked. For as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and bought the price of the things that were sold. In other words, there was a need, and the church met the need. And I still believe that God blesses his church to whatever the need is. He'll bless the church to be able to provide, that God will provide those needs. And again, first century church teaching 21st century church is when God's great power and God's great grace is upon the church, when there's a need in the church, the people of God will be blessed by God to be able to provide that need through matter whatever means are necessary. I've seen people give people cars, and people have given people rides, and people have allowed people to stay at their houses, and you know, people have bought people food and whatever was needed. The church trusted God to provide what was needed, so that there was every need met in the church. Dr. G.
Well, you know, I agree with you. I was just sitting here thinking, because pretty much everything that you said, Sheila G. and I have done. We've given vehicles. We've given food. We've given money.
Yep.
But, you know, it's hard to get people, it's hard to get the church nowadays to that point where they understand that the church ought to be about giving anyhow.
Amen.
And the people who up the church, we've got to get that mindset that, you know, we nickel and dime God to the point where, you know, we can barely pay the bills, but then when we need something, the church is the first place that we want to run. I'll never forget when I first got the new birth. They didn't have any money at the church because they were so busy giving out helping hand loans, and people were not paying it back. They would forget about them. Or somebody knew, and then they would get upset. I've seen folks that have actually leave the church because they didn't want to pay back their loan. And all of that, you know, it makes the church, it puts the church in a very bad situation. You know, we've got to get folks back to the point where they understand, you know, we are all about helping. We ought to be in this thing together.
Yeah.
And yes, if there's a need within the church, we all should be able to pitch in and help instead of trying to nickel and dime. You know, we're so busy looking at what somebody else has. And we get, churches are full of cheap folk, you know, but yet they can go out to the malls on Saturday and Christmas and all them other holidays and spend money like crazy. But when it comes to the Lord, you know, we want to put a dollar in church. I've often prayed, what is a dollar going to do? I mean, a dollar's not going to help you. That dollar is the only thing that comes to church. But, you know, the fives, the tens, the 50s, the hundreds, you know, take all of that and we go elsewhere. We'll go on vacations, but the dollar comes to church. And we've got to get folks, get that mindset that, you know, the church can't help folk because people aren't giving and doing things in the way that they should.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And, again, God has the ability to provide that need, but the people have to be willing to bring it. Sheila G, there's a thing where God will always provide the need, but if He provides the need and the people don't bring it, then that therein lies the problem.
Right.
Again, it has to be a thing where it's people are led by the Spirit to be able to give and to be able to see the need and give it and trust God that He will meet the need. Sheila G.
Amen. And that is so true, is that God doesn't want your money if you're giving it grudgingly.
Amen.
He wants it once you be led by the Spirit to give it. That's why, you know, we've all been in services where somewhat spiritual leader will stand up and say, I'm gonna plant this $1,000 seed, and we want everybody to come and put I'm planting. So we want everybody to plant $1,000 seed. Now, how can you say that when you don't know what God is speaking to that person?
Amen.
That's the thing that I had with that, because that you're giving, you said, you're being led by the Spirit. God doesn't want you to give him $1,000 just because so-and-so up there said do it.
Right.
No, he wants to do it because it says here right in his word. And he's leading you, guiding you, and say, I have a need. My people have a need. As a result of that need, I need you to give. And on top of that, because you're going to willingly meet that need that I have within the church, I'm going to turn around and bless you with more. That's how it works. Coming from the Lord, coming from the Holy Spirit, not because somebody's standing up saying, I'm putting $1,000 so everybody puts $1,000. God doesn't want it grudgingly. He wants you to meet His need because you trust and you believe in Him. And so much so, when He knows that you're giving it and giving it from your heart, that He's going to turn around and bless you with more because you stepped out on faith and met the need that's in the church.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And it's so powerful, and it's laid out in verse 35. And it says, and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had. And there's that word, need. Didn't say won't. It didn't say won't. It said need. And again, when you're trusting the Lord to provide your need, when the church is on one accord, leadership and people in the body of Christ, they'll be on one accord and they can see the need. God will make it plain to the church what the need is, and everyone who's led by the Spirit from the pulpit to the door can see there's a need. If you walk by the front door. And every time you walk by there, there's a hole and you trip in it.
Right.
Obviously, there's a need for the hole
right.
in front of, to get fixed.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, there's a need there, and everybody, like I said, from the pulpit to the door can see that there's a need. And you know, when you go into the bathroom, and you know, there's a shortage of toilet paper.
Yep.
Everybody knows there's a need for toilet paper. in the wintertime when it's cold outside and you walk into church and Dr. G, you need some heat, and everybody understands there's a need for heat and need for air conditioning.
Yeah.
You know, you want to be able to see if you ever eat in programs, there's a need for some light and some electricity.
And
you know, those are the, you know, people who take communion. You want to be able to have the stuff for communion. You know, there's a need, and you know, you have to have leadership on one accord with the congregation to say, you know, God wants to provide us with what we need to be able to continue in ministry to do His will, and not get caught up on me, myself, and I, but understand that it's for the benefit of the need of the body of Christ to continue the work of the Lord.
Amen.
Dr. G.
Well, I agree with you 100%. And, you know, when there is a need and when you present it to the people, especially if the Holy Spirit is there, and if the Holy Spirit hasn't touched an individual's heart or his spirit, you can forget about it, because it's amazing how we can be spirit-filled when it comes to the spiritual things. But when you start talking about money, all of a sudden we come out of the spirit, and, you know, we're back to thinking logically.
Right.
It blows my mind. I mean, I share with folk, you know, we talk about tithing. Tithing does work.
Yes,
now, before I got up with Chilla G, you know, I didn't understand, and my faith wasn't as strong as it is now. Now, whatever the Lord wants, Lord, how much you want me to write this check for?
There you go.
You know, you can't worry about the bill collectors or tell folk, look, if you give God his, he'll take care of the bill collectors.
Mm-hmm.
Or he'll show you how to work it or how to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
But too often, you know, we're caught up in the spirit about everything else. We'll give the bare minimum. But when it comes to writing that check or giving God what he wants, we want to step out of the spirit. And it's amazing how we do that real quick. Or I've seen people, you know, come around, they're just pat the plate and keep on pushing. You know, I don't know what the patent is going to do. You're not putting no money in there. And like you said, you know, the church's bills have got to be paid. You know, we want comfort in the church. We want heat in the wintertime. We want air when it comes time hot. And folk don't get that. You know, and you know, we give folk, we have a church meeting, we lay out for them, this is how much the gas costs a year. This is how much electric costs a year. And, you know, we try not to be in that mode of asking, but there does come a point, you know, we've got to just lay it out before them. We need extra. And we're going to pray that the Holy Spirit will work on the hearts of folk to give.
Amen.
Not grudgingly.
Amen.
But according to how God has blessed you. And it's a shame that now God blesses some folk and they're still cheap.
Amen.
Amen. G.O.G.
Amen. And that's why, you know, again, you know, I want to continue to look at the scripture and how God has already set up, and that's how the church is set up today. That's why, you know, like back in the day, a lot of people don't want to do it anymore. We used to have evening programs. You'd have building programs. But it would serve two purposes, one for fellowship. One to spiritual, one to lead everybody together so you can have that more other than Sunday morning. But it also allowed an offering to go forward that went towards the church. Kind of just like here, they all came together, they all praised, they all gave God the glory, and then they had that offering where they laid it at the apostles.
There you go.
And it used to be, I remember, birth every once a month, every single month, there would be one of the auxiliaries, and I know pastors getting back to that, would have a building fund program. And it, you know, whether it be a concert, whether it be a church coming in to preach, so you would not only raise and give God the glory and have that unity and that fellowship, but it also brought in an offering, just like it's saying here, to bring unto, take care of the needs of the church.
Amen. And it's just plainly laid out there in the Word of God. It's like, you know, God showed us how to do everything.
Right.
it's like
people,
it's a free will. it's like the people, it was on their spirit to give. The apostles didn't ask for it. The folks just came and gave it. It was a thing of there was a need, and the people of Jesus saw the need, and God.
Right.
We'll supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory. And Dr. G, that's one thing you said. It's one of those things where you can't think rational. You have to think spiritual when it comes to material possessions to understand God doesn't work the way we think. He works In a way, amen, that is able to multiply the little bit that we have.
That's right.
And he does it all the time.
Amen.
He multiplies. He can take two fish and five loaves of bread and be filled.
Amen.
But if you were to look at that physically, you would say it's impossible, you know. And they fed thousands with two fish and five loaves of bread and had some left over. And if people would think in that mindset, giving wouldn't be the challenge that our churches face, Dr. G.
Well, you're right. And until we get back to that point, and it's up to us as the leaders to teach that to them. Now, again, you know, with some that it doesn't matter what you put out before them, they're going to think what they want to think. But until we become spiritual minded, we'll never really understand and see through the eyes of Christ. And that's where our faith comes in. You know, until our faith gets built up to the point where we believe that, okay, if I give all that I have, the Lord is going to return that back to me tenfold. And we're far from it. We'll nickel and dime, but then when we need, we want to run to the church. But, you know, the Lord teaches us in his word that my ways are not like your ways. My thoughts are not like your thoughts. And until we can get to that point where we totally trust in the Lord, we're going to continue to be the kind of folk that we are.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. Well, we want to go to the phone lines, and we want to talk about the needs, and has God provided all of our needs? And we just want to ask that question, folks. We've made it this far, and obviously it wasn't all by ourselves, but God has provided all of our needs. And I love that song, Great Is Thy Faithfulness. God says, greatest by faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercy I see. All I have needed, thy hands has provided, and great is thy faithfulness to me. So I'm just going to ask a question tonight. Has God, or how has God provided for your needs? How has God provided for your needs? And we're going to go to the phone line. First caller, last four digits, 1741. 1741, you're on the air.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Good evening.
God has provided for me all my needs. He do it every day, regardless of what the need is. Sometimes I don't be as grateful as I should be. I murmur and I complain, but God is still faithful. And I'm not always obedient and do what he tells me to do. And sometimes I step out. I can be honest. Sometimes I step out of whack, and the flesh then sometimes we bring some things on ourselves.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Not that we don't know. We do know. But God is so gracious unto us that when we do and repent of it and we recognize it, he puts us back on the right track.
Amen.
And so
Amen.
What I have come to learn is I have to ask God every day to guide me and to lead me. Because it's not that you don't know, you do know, but you need the strength of the Holy Spirit. You need the power of the Holy Spirit to keep you on the straight and narrow in everything that you do. I mean, your spiritual walk as well as your walk in your daily walk, in your life, everyday life. Everything you do, you need God to guide you, regardless of what it is.
Amen.
So it's only through prayer and studying of the word that I can do things through Christ. It's only through Jesus Christ I can do it. When I spend less time in the word, when I don't pray enough, I find myself going in the wrong direction and get weak. So I have to stay rooted and grounded in the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to the next caller. Last four digits, 1487. 1487, you're on the air.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening. The question is, has God provided for my needs? Yes, he always has provided for all my needs. I'm just going to give you all a quick example. On yesterday, about 11:30 or 12 o'clock, my daughter was on Facebook, and she saw something about my family member, and she called me and said, Ma, I got something to tell you. And I said, just what is it? What is it? I knew that something was gone, was somebody had passed away. She said, I see on Facebook, Cousin Nina passed away on April the 17th. That was her 20-year anniversary. Nobody called us. Nobody said anything to us. But I'm going to tell you what God did. He made it so that we found out about it. And not only that, I didn't know how we was going to get down there. Not only did he do that, he made a way, me and my brothers, because I was our first cousin, to go down there to her funeral on tomorrow. We didn't know anything. So ain't nobody going to tell me what God can't do, because I know what he can do. I know what he can do. I was devastated. I mean, I couldn't tell nobody how I felt that I wouldn't be able to get down there and see my cousin, you know, because that was my blood. She had been so sick, and everybody had something else to do, this, that, and other. But, oh, my God, I was in the doctor's office this morning when my sister, Cheryl, I'm going to say her name, called me. I got to, and told me. And I told her what was wrong, and she said, oh, don't worry about it. I'm going to get you down there. I'm going to take you down there. I'm going to take all of y'all down there. You're going to be with your family. So, yes, he definitely always have supplied all my needs. And I trust him. I love him. I believe in him. And I don't care if I don't have but 5 cents left. I'm paying my tithe. That's not an option with me. I just do what I can do. Because he's going to always take care of me. He done showed me in more ways than one. And this was the best thing that he could have did for me. Because I'm telling you, I was just ready to just lay down. I just couldn't stand it. But that's what he'll do. He always make a way for you. All you got to do is believe in him and trust him and love him. And so the answer is yes. He always supplies my needs. I use that as an example because that meant more to me than anything else in this world, and he that's what he do for you. So I thank him, and I love him, and I thank you all for listening. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to the next caller. Last 4 digits, 3343. You on there?
Yes, good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
God has always supplied me with every need. Even when I was a child coming on up, I never knew what it was to be hungry. I never was out of food, never was raggedy or poor, anything like that that came out being poor. But I didn't know I was poor because my mother and grandmother always had something to give to us because the God always brought to her and supplied us, and he taught us to supply ourselves. And when you ever give to one, we give to the other. Whatever we got, we give it to God, give it back to God. I was always, sometimes we went in my wallet, and I know I didn't have but a dollar in my pocket. And I went up and I got $5, and I'd be wondering, where did I get $5 from? But I gave it to my last dollar, I gave it to God in church. And I said, now where did I get the $5 from? I don't know why. I ain't put no $5 here. But I know God takes care of me every day. I don't have to ask for nobody. Then when we get to church, we give what God gives to us, give it back to God. And I can't ask for nobody to say nothing about life. Life is that way. But if you don't love God, you don't give it back because he will give it back to you. Where did I get that $5 from? He gave it back to me. And I've been that way all my life. Study that in that way with that. And I stay with God every day. He supplied me every day because I ask him every morning, God, take care of me today, please.
Yeah.
And if it's in your will to do so, I'll stay here and I'll be able to talk to you on Thursday. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Well, thank you for your testimony, your comment tonight. We want to go to our next caller. Last 4 digits, 1285. 1285, you're on air.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm thankful today. The question is, how has God provided for my needs? God knew from the beginning that I wouldn't know him as a child and, you know, through the years got my attention, you know, cleaned me up, and now showing me what I can do just in the past week about serving him and living the rest of these days for him, because truly I didn't know him. You know, I was doing everything the opposite. But I thank and I praise the Lord now because coming into, well, being led into new birth, knew I needed to be connected, just didn't know how. And I thank the Lord that new birth, you know, embraced me to a point where even to the point where they had to babysit me because I started, you know, going backwards again. And it's only because I have been in a famine for so long about work. But the Lord is just,
amen.
It's one that I have been pushing off and didn't even realize I ain't doing this, I ain't doing that. And it's what He wants me to do. And so I know now that I can lean and depend on His word for real to carry out what it is He would have me to do and be in these last and final days, because truly, you know, getting clean and all that, I just didn't know which way to go.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just so grateful for His word as well, because growing up, I didn't know what church was. I thought church was a man-made thing. I thought the whole thing was ritual and all of that, but Acts, and y'all just going through these few scriptures in Acts just taught me, okay, this thing is not, it was laid out in the Word. I just didn't know how to find it. So I'm thankful for this Bible study line. I'm just grateful for the small understanding that I get each and every, the small nuggets of wisdom that each and every week when I tune in, you know, if I, you know, open up, reach out and just plug in, then He shows up. And it's just amazing what He's pouring in my life. So I just thank and praise the Lord for each and every one of you. I thank the Lord for being who He is. I thank the Lord for being back in another frame of mind where it's about wanting to serve Him and not looking too far to the right or the left.
Amen.
To get sidetracked.
Yep.
We can just get sidetracked. But so I ask that you know that you and you know the words of prayer. Let's just pray my strength for the Lord.
Amen.
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 Thank you for your comment tonight. And I go one more caller. Last four digits 1712. 1712, you're on there.
Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Good evening.
God's always provided me what I needed. I think somebody touched on it earlier that, you know, there were times I thought what I wanted was what I needed, and God showed me in more than one occasion that, you know, everything I needed, He had already provided me. I think a lot of times, you know, we ask God for things, and I think we truly, genuinely believe that we need Him, especially, you know, when we're going through times of struggle, when we're going through financial crisis, anything, and, you know, we think that we need these things, or we feel that we've been grinding and working hard, and you know, we need just money to fall out the sky or get that job, get that car, get whatever. And, you know, as time has passed, I started realizing, like, man, I remember when I was so upset when I really wanted this and I didn't get it and I was upset. But then the time passed, I began to get over it. And then, you know, something usually happens where the light bulb goes off, like, man, I really didn't need it, but I thought I did. And I was angry at God and I was frustrated at God. And, you know, I think it's just a part of being in this world with all the temptations we have and all the desires and being in this flesh and being able to control it and being able to try to manage it, because we are human at the end of the day. You know, we're going to always see things and feel we want things and need things. But I think as we get closer to God and we get more embedded in the Word, you know, God is going to make sure that He takes care of our needs. Now, blessings, I too also believe that your blessings can be needs, not necessarily wants, because people say, oh, God, bless me with a good job. That's always what I wanted. Not necessarily. That may have been what you needed, but God just didn't want to bless you with it at the time that you may have actually desired it, because maybe we weren't ready for it, or maybe there were other circumstances that God wanted to make sure He took care of before He blessed you with something. So I think as Christians, we also need to be careful with that. When God blesses us, don't assume that He's giving you what you want. It may not be the case all the time. He may actually be providing you what you need. And also understand, too, that there's a responsibility that comes with that. You know, you have to manage it. You have to take care of it. You have to show God that, hey, you've given me what I wanted, but let me show you how much I appreciate that you've woken me up, that you've been able to keep my family. I'm upset at my job, but guess what? I got a job. I get a paycheck every 2 weeks. You know, I may be frustrated with my parents, but guess what? Thank God they're still alive. I can still call them and be frustrated with them, because, you know, there's a lot of people who don't realize what they have and how good they have it until you start taking things away and pulling things away, and then they start realizing, like, man, I really should have appreciated what I had, because all along God has blessed me, God has taken care of me, God has made sure that he's provided me with the proper tools to help me be successful and to help me along the way. But if we don't utilize those tools, what good are they? You know, if we don't constantly thank God for what we have, why would he give us more? If we're frustrated with the things that we have. But, you know, I never really understood it. I never tried to understand it, because I think that's one of the frustrating parts about being a Christian, and I'll be honest, is that, you know, you find yourself looking in the mirror a lot more than you had planned on doing. If you want to be honest, you got to first be honest with yourself. You know, it's easy to be barking at somebody else or easy to start blaming God, but a lot of our misfortunes, a lot of why we're in these predicaments is because of us. You know, God's waiting with open arms, but if we don't take those steps to establish a relationship with him, we're never going to know him. We're never going to be able to unlock the wonders that he has in store for all of us. And that's been a tough pill for me to swallow. And, you know, I don't struggle with it as much as I do, but there are times that I do struggle with it. But I've tried to always thank God, even in the midst of adversity, because I can take something from it, being, you know, something that he's provided for me. Like, hey, I'm going to put you through this struggle. You're going to go through it. But guess what? You're going to gain something after it. You're going to be a better version of yourself after it. Whereas a whole time before, I would be upset, I'd be bitter, I wouldn't learn anything, and I kept going through these things, and then I realized that, you know what, I didn't need this struggle, God, but God said you did need this struggle, because ultimately you developed something that you were going to gain from it that made you a better person. And once I started taking those things with me and started realizing that, I said, you know what, even through the struggles, God's provided me what I needed, because I was able to not only overcome it, but I was also able to gain something from it and take something from it. So, you know, it goes deep. There's different layers to the wants and the needs. And don't automatically think that in order for you to gain something or God to provide for you, it's always got to be good. God can provide for you even when we feel, using our human eyes and our human element, that we're going through something and God's testing us or whatever, but he's still providing something for you. You just have to focus on that and not lose focus on it. And for me, that's what I've always tried to do. Remain focused, remain humble, remain embedded in his word. Get on this line, no matter what life is throwing at me or what's going on to stay. Calling in on Thursdays and to utilize those resources that God has provided for me. But, you know, I continue to thank God. I continue to allow him to use me. And, you know, yes, I do have needs. I think we're all do. We'd be kidding ourselves if we said if we did it. But guess what? If those needs aren't fulfilled, I know God has always provided me and will continue to provide me for what I want, because he ultimately knows best. And I think it goes back to that verse, lean not to my own understanding. So I'm leaning a little less. I can say that much. I'm still a work in progress, but, you know, I understand that there's a bigger picture and a bigger thing at work here. So I've definitely tried to just take it one day at a time, and, you know, just be thankful that I'm above ground and be thankful that I can try to influence and change people's lives. And I have people like you in my corner to help me along the way. So I appreciate that, and I appreciate you all. Thank you.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight, Sheila G. You have some final thoughts, comments, and close it out in prayer. Good word tonight.
Amen. I heard a phrase, a spiritual leader was commenting, and I think I heard it on the Word Channel or something, where they were commenting about God knows God will give you the desires of your heart, but the other side of that was we need to pray to God to teach us what our heart should desire, because a lot of times what we think the desire of our heart is what we want, but that should not be the desire of our heart. So our first prayer should be, Lord, teach me how to know what the desires of my heart should be. That way, when you give me the desires of my heart, I'll recognize it. And so it's not like we can cherry pick it. It's not that we can always look at what we want. We always have to be focused on the Lord. So we'll know what he desires for us, we'll understand it by and by, why he doesn't give us exactly what we think we want, because God knows best. So I ask that we just continue to pray and encourage one another. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you once again for another powerful Bible study lesson. I thank you, Father, that we're all coming together and learning and understanding your word, Lord, and then turning around and knowing how to apply it to our lives, Lord. I want to thank you for supplying all of our needs. And yes, Lord,
yes.
A lot of the things that we desire, those things that we want, we just pray, Father, that you will teach us to understand what our hearts should desire and not be so caught up in this world, Lord. I just thank you for all your many blessings. In your precious name we do pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, that's going to do it for us tonight. Prayerfully, we'll see you again on next Thursday night. Good night.
Good night.